Hello, everybody. Welcome to another special edition of the Gimmick Minute Wrestling Podcast. My name is Jason, and no, I'm not joined by Kevin. I'm not joined by Riley. We're going old school today. Let me welcome back Mr. Modern Toy Fair himself, Michael, to the show. Michael, how you doing, my friend?
It's been too long. Oh, man, the prodigal son has returned.
I'm so happy to have you back. So this kind of happened by accident. So the last time we recorded, Riley had mentioned he was going to be in a wedding and he wasn't going to be able to record on Thursday. And then Kevin was like, oh, and I have to pick my brother-in-law up from the airport Thursday, so I can't do it either. So I was like, all right, well, how about you and I just record on Wednesday? Well, then I got COVID and my brain kind of went fuzzy and I forgot. So we didn't end up recording our episode. So I was like, what can I do? Oh, let me reach out to Michael, see what he's doing. So
yeah, he texted me yesterday. I'm like, yeah, there's no way I'll be able to do it last night, but I'll be free in the morning.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you coming in. So, I know you've been busy with, you know, you got your job, you got Modern Toy Fair going pretty strong. So, you know, what's, I guess as far as pro wrestling goes, aside from CM Punk, is there anything you're paying attention to, or is it mostly just been the CM Punk saga?
So it's mostly like anything that I've actually like fully watched has been the CM Punk stuff. Okay. But I still watch WrestleTalk every day just to kind of keep up on the important bits and some of the drama and the backstage rumor and innuendo. Mm-hmm. So like I know that MJF has been written off for a little bit due to his injury. Mm-hmm. I know that Samoa Joe was accusing Hangman to Adam Page as the devil because MJF got attacked with a beer bottle. So he's like, well, you're an alcoholic, so it must be you.
Right.
The whodunit. I know the rumors of who people are now saying is the devil, which if it is, boy, is that going to be a letdown.
talking to Jack Perry.
Yep.
Yeah, that'd be as Bruce Pritchard calls it, a fart in church.
Yeah, that would be rough. Let's see, on the WWE side, I know that DIY is a thing again, and they just teamed up with The Miz, which was weird, to take on Imperium.
Yeah, Miz has kind of been in the middle of a babyface turn. He had a build with Gunther for the Intercontinental Championship, and during that build, he kind of gave some talking smack style like promos.
Oh, the like, fuck you, I work hard, I'm here every day, blah blah blah.
Right, yeah. He kind of got that. He kind of got like a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, and that I think kind of turned him a little bit. So he's had a back and forth with Gunther, and he's trying to get another match with him, which is why he was involved in that match with DIY. So, and they were in Cleveland, so Johnny and Miz in Cleveland. You know what I mean? It makes sense, but yeah. But it was more the connection with Miz and his rivalry with Gunther that put him in the match more than anything else. Okay. So there was actually a reason for it, storyline reason, which I know in years past there wouldn't have been. But
nope, it would literally have been just like, he's from Cleveland, you're from Cleveland, you're tag team partners now.
Yeah, in this era of WWE, everything is entwined in some sort of story.
Matters?
Yeah, everything matters, dude. Like, it's crazy. If you actually spend some time watching a couple weeks in a row of a Monday Night Raw or a Friday Night SmackDown, like, you see the pieces and everything being put into place, and you could see the stories kind of build and start to kind of intertwine and even carry over into NXT in some ways too, which has been kind of impressive how they've been able to do that. So it's been a lot of fun to watch, honestly. Like, you know, once, if you ever get some time to get back into watching, you know, weekly programming, it's not a bad watch. I'm not going to lie. Like, AEW hasn't even been terrible if you just watch Dynamite.
If you watch one of their three shows, it's tolerable.
Like, there's just not much that happens on the other ones, you know? Like, it's just, that's the thing. Like, Collision kind of has its own stories building over. They're starting to carry over into Dynamite a little bit. Like, Big Bill and Ricky Starks as the tag team champions, now they're feuding with the Golden Jets, you know, Kenny and
Yeah. Or
fuck, what's Jericho?
Chris Jericho.
Dude, that the promo, I don't know if you saw that or not. They had a promo segment.
I heard about it.
It was not good, man.
I heard like, even Kenny fucking fumbled the ball on that one.
Yeah, it just wasn't great. And Ricky and Bill were just kind of like, bro. Like, Ricky Starks kind of saved it. Like, he kind of, but when you have Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho there, like, you wouldn't expect Ricky Starks to be the one to have to save that promo.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's starting to bleed over a little bit, but really, I mean, the Who's the Devil storyline, but I'll be honest with you, man, like that should have, to me, it should have ended at Full Gear.
Yeah.
Like that, they should have revealed it at Full Gear. Like, so the only thing I could think of is that, see, the whole time I've been going on the assumption that Adam Cole's injury was a work.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've never,
I don't think it is.
But they've never, the whole thing where he didn't go get surgery because he was dealing with Roddy Strong, and the whole thing where they've never really shown up until he was like in the ring with it or whatever, they never really showed him with the ankle thing at the same time. Like, I kind of felt like it was a work and it was leading to him being the devil. But I almost wonder if maybe his injury was real and they're delaying the reveal because of the injury.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they had to delay it a little bit, because it's starting to feel like the higher power storyline.
Oh, like, you know, the god is that laptop?
No. The higher power was so this was back in the Attitude Era. There was the Ministry of Darkness, which was the Undertaker, okay. Right? And the Undertaker kept talking about there being a higher power. And the higher powers who was having him go after Stone Cold Steve Austin. He was basically making Steve Austin's life a living hell. You know, he did a lot of stuff. He kidnapped Stephanie McMahon.
Yeah, I remember that. That was weird.
Yeah, like, he did all this stuff. And then finally, they were revealing the higher power. And there's this cloaked person in the ring, and he rips off the hood, and it's Vince McMahon. And he goes, "It was me, Austin. It was me all along." And it was just kind of like, ah.
He's not wrong. In WWE, he is the higher power. So, like,
right. But it just wasn't, you know, a lot of people, there was a lot of rumors that was supposed to be Christopher Daniel. There was rumors of like somebody knew that it was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but there was so much time that had gone through it that everybody's expectations build up. So when it was just revealed to be Vince all along, it was just like, what the fuck? Come on, man.
Yeah, that's fair.
And, you know, and I'm starting to feel like it's going to be Tony Khan at this point.
That would be incredible. That'd be the best possible option. I know what you're talking about. Like, I love Adam Cole, but like, his AEW run's been fucking plagued with injuries and just mediocre storylines. And no one cares about Jack Perry. So, no, like, it's... what better than to have fucking the Snowman himself rip that mask off and be like, "It's the bidding war of 2024, Max! It's the bidding war!"
Yeah, like, you're not leaving with, I honestly thought about this in the car today. Like, if it is Tony Khan, right, then it's like one of those things where you're not leaving with my title in 2024. Mm-hmm. Like, they're trying to play up like the CM. It's almost like they're combining two storylines from WWE.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess maybe that would be, but I still feel like that would be, because he doesn't have the character to pull that off. Like, MJF Khan is not Austin McMahon. Like, he can't.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't have the...
He has, you know,
no disrespect to Tony Khan, but he does not have
Tony
the.
Khan.
I'm not gonna bash the guy, but...
He needs to learn to just fucking mind his business and get his own shit like fucking going. Dude has fucked that company over so many times. It is basically becoming TNA 2.0, which TNA is fucking coming back at this point. So, like.
Well, and did you hear the rumors today that
they're going to lose their TNT deal or
to
CBS
WWE.
Deal?
WWE.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, how fucking crazy would that be if Warner Discovery signs Monday Night Raw?
And it's not like that far off of a possibility, because Warner Brothers Discovery CEO is known for fucking people over in the DC like film like verse. Yeah. So like, yeah, there's a good chance that, you know, one Bill Phil
and Trips, they're going to fuck Tony out of his TV deal. I heard, though, that there's a chance that it might, instead of it being him completely losing it, he'll just get bumped from TBS to Discovery. Which, I mean, would be a huge downgrade, because who the fuck watches Discovery Channel?
Yeah, I know, but like, and that's the thing. And that, but then there was also rumors that the Raw was supposed to be on Discovery, and it's like, why would Raw be on the Discovery Channel? It doesn't make sense.
Raw wouldn't, they wouldn't do that.
So, but I can't imagine, though, WWE or TKO, I guess, wanting to be on the same network as another wrestling organization, though.
Allegedly, CW's contract with NXT does not have a non-compete.
Okay, so if the CW wanted to do something with NWA still, they could, or something like that.
Yeah, there's allegedly NXT does not have a like worthy only exclusivity kind of thing. But that's NXT, that's not Raw, so that's kind of a different beast in itself.
Yeah, yeah.
So then again, there's also been rumors that, well, actually not even rumors, fucking Nick Khan said himself that they're not glued to the idea of Raw being Monday night.
So, yeah, they've said that before, but I can't imagine Raw.
Oh yeah, that'd be a terrible idea. Night.
Like it just seems like it's
Monday
know.
Night Raw for a reason. Like
yeah, yeah. So, so we'll probably we can either pause the conversation a little bit, or we can just wrap it up short, depending on, I don't want to interrupt what we're doing here, but I just got a notification. I have to be on a call at 1:30 for my work. So we can talk for the next 15 minutes, but the call's only, it's real short. It's like 15 minutes or something like that. So we can talk for the next 15 minutes and wrap it up. Or if you want to come back and do part two, we can do that, but
we can do part two.
All right.
I feel bad leaving the Gimmick Minute fan base with only a measly 20-minute episode.
All right. So basically, though, yeah, I mean, I going back to the Devil storyline, it's definitely, at least they're leaning into it more, and they're trying to create some intrigue about it. I think not revealing it at Full Gear really hurt, because it kind of built everybody's expectations up, like, oh my gosh, maybe it's CM Punk and that it's the greatest storyline that could be ever be told. And, you know, that kind of built everybody up so high. And now it's like, well, who is it really?
It's on the downhill fucking spiral, because there's like, you built up the accidentally built up the expectations of it being Punk.
Yeah.
And now that's not a possibility, because fucking he got driven all the way back to WWE.
Yeah. So let's go to there real quick. What have your thoughts been so far on CM Punk and WWE?
I'm curious how much of the "this is home, I'm happy to be here" is real. Because like, you look at his face and he's either deserves an Oscar or he genuinely means it. Because like he does not have a tell showing like that, like, oh, I'm just fucking, you know, smiling and making this so that way I, because this is my last shot, like Rollins said. Mm-hmm. It very much feels like he believes what he's saying. Which, if so, good for him. Especially like when he went to NXT, was it Stand and Deliver or Deadline or whatever, Hardline, yeah. Whatever it's called.
It's
Dead to Rights.
You said three different names, and then the real name just popped out of my head. It's Deadline, NXT Deadline.
So like with him and Sean, he's like talking about like, oh, this is all about healing. I made up with Triple H, you made up with Brett, blah, blah, blah. Like I genuinely believe him. So he either deserves a fucking Oscar, or like he, like what I was saying all along, and it's the AEW side of things, which was a big part of the problem. Like I do think that what people were saying were the issue was Punk knew he was bigger than AEW. So like he had a chip on his shoulder, like, well, you should respect me. And, but at the same time, like it feels like AEW is still falling apart and he's smiling and on fucking WWE television every week.
See, I thought about like this. I think the bloom was off the rose with AEW, at the brawl out thing. I think mm-hmm. he, because I think he genuinely, like when he said that, had that first promo in AEW where he said that he was there to help the younger generation and help build this up. And yeah, that I think he genuinely meant that. He's always
been that way. Even when he was like actively wrestling 10 years ago, he would go and visit NXT regularly.
And I think really quickly he found out that they don't want that. That locker room does not want that. There's a segment of the locker room that might want that, mm-hmm. but there's a big segment of that locker room that's a big clique that does not want that. Mm-hmm. And I think he felt maybe that he was on the outside. So I think the collision thing for him was maybe like, you put me on this other roster with guys that actually want to be built up and I'll see what I can do with them. And then, but it put him in an awkward position because here's the thing. I brought this up a couple of weeks ago. When backstage producers are going to Jack Perry and saying, hey, you cannot use real glass for this segment, that should be the end of the conversation. Mm-hmm. But when he doesn't listen to them, and then they then go to CM Punk and say, hey, Punk, can you talk to this kid and, you know, explain to him why he shouldn't use that? And then it becomes a situation where it pits Perry against Punk. He should have never been put in that position. He's not an authority figure in AEW. The authority figures need to have the power to say, no, you're not doing that. And that be the end of it. You shouldn't have to involve talent to be able to do that. Even this whole disciplinary committee thing where Bryan Danielson was supposedly involved with it, helping, like, he should not be in that position. And that's the thing. There's structure in WWE. There's no structure in AEW. And I think that for a guy like Punk, I think that's probably what led to a lot of the turmoil in the discourse. Is that lack of structure and being put in an uncomfortable position and then basically being disrespected as a result of it. You know what I mean? Like, what is he supposed to do?
Yeah. Like, it was a recipe for disaster, and he just happened to unfortunately be put in the middle of it.
Like, I think he knew he was getting fired when he left Wembley and he had the belt draped over his shoulder like Roman Reigns and he held the one finger up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, he there were so many different things that he almost was like foreshadowing it before it was even happening. I honestly think that I know there's some rumors and there's reports and whatever, but I honestly think that's legitimately what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he just wanted, you know what I mean?
He was just like, fuck it, I'm out. Like,
I don't know, but you know, I think look at what he's doing now that he's been back, right? All the pictures mm-hmm. that he's posting are with NXT talent, mostly the women in NXT, but with NXT, like each week he has gone down to the Performance Center and spent time there. There's mm-hmm. even a report that he wants to succeed Shawn Michaels for his spot one mm-hmm. day. Well, yeah. That came from Meltzer, so who knows if it's true or not. It's probably bullshit, but.
It makes sense, though, because Sean didn't want the job to begin with. Triple H had to convince him to do it.
Yeah, and... but Sean loves it now, though, man. He throws that shit.
But, like, at the same time, like, it would be perfect because Sean can't do it for forever. Like,
yeah, it's true.
He's getting up there. And even if he has had, like, you know, Punk take over as, like, the day-to-day and he's still, like, the final say or something like that, like, gives Sean a little bit of a break. But I could definitely see, like, in a year or so, Punk being transitioned into, like, you go down to NXT and you're helping running the place.
I don't think it'd be a year. I think the dude's only what, 42, 43?
Yeah, but like, I don't know. I don't know if it was the dance partners, but his matches in AEW, a couple of them were rough. So I don't know.
His match with Samoa Joe was really good, though. So I think his dance partner. His matches with MJF were awesome, too. Like, he can still go in the ring, man.
You're right.
You're going to say that, and then you're going to see him. You're going to see him and Seth tear the fucking house down at WrestleMania, and you'd be like, oh.
Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. And that's assuming they wait that long. So there's rumors that they might do that at Rumble. He's in the Rumble.
Yeah, he's in the Rumble. So it'd have to be an Elimination Chamber, which that's a big show. It's in Perth, Australia. So, I mean, I guess I can see it, but mm-hmm. that's Elimination Chamber too. But I don't know, man. Like, he doesn't need to be in the ring right now. and he doesn't really need, he's such an attraction. He doesn't need to be in the ring at all. You just put a microphone in his hand. The guy's a, you know, the guy creates moments. So
yeah,
it's like, and Seth created a moment there too. Like that whole back and forth between them was really good. And even Seth, after it was over, Punk got out of the ring and Seth goes, yeah, it was good. Did you see that?
Yeah.
So, oh man. Yeah. That's something I texted you that. The fact that fucking Seth Rollins did the I'm gonna protect the locker room from you promo better right. than Hangman. Like, just the little shit like that. And then, like, we talked back when I was on the show regularly about how fucking what's his name? Logan Paul does the buckshot the better buckshot. Than Hangman. I'm like, Hangman cannot fucking win.
I mean, you know, Hangman's carved out a pretty, like, he's done a pretty good job of building himself back up a little bit in AEW, but, you know, it's taken having a partner like Swerve on the mm-hmm. other side of it to kind of bring it out of him, though. So it's like,
I mean, if you don't have someone who's gonna let you fucking lick the blood off their face, then how are you gonna fucking do
it? He didn't just lick the blood, he drank it, dude. He got underneath him and let it drip in his mouth. Like, that's a whole different side of fucked up.
Yeah, but you know what? That's what you have to do when your company is so off the rails that you have to fucking do extreme shit to get eyes on you.
Right, right. And that's the thing. And if they just do a better job of telling stories, like WWE is proving the formula right now. Mm-hmm. If you create characters and you tell good stories with those characters, if everybody on the show has something going on, then it's people will watch. People will tune in. Like, it's happening. And that's one thing that I want to do. You know, our next show that we record next week, I want to do like our top five like storylines through the year, and then maybe like top five wrestlers and stuff like that. So I thought we'd end the year doing like kind of like best of type shows to, you know, kind of like get some discussion going there. But yeah, man, there's
I'm real glad I'm not a regular because I couldn't remember the fucking top five stories if I tried.
I think to make it flow better, I'm just going to have my list and then I'm going to say mine, and then kind of what if they have something that differs from mine, then we'll kind of throw it in and discuss it rather than each of us just read off our lists. You know what I mean? Because if we all have like kind of the same things,
I feel like we could just do what we do for our top 10 figures Festivus special. We literally each have our list and then we take turns one at a time. We count down from 10. So like I go, then Jamar, then Nate. Stuff like that. Yeah, yeah.
That's good. All right. So speaking of Toy Fair, I think our you and I had like a pretty big discourse going back and forth before CM Punk came back to WWE.
Oh my God.
And I remember you had posted something to Jazzwares about how
the fucking CM Punk figure.
Yeah. How you hadn't got the CM Punk figure yet. And I was like, well, just wait for the WWE Ultimate to come out. So I got to ask you, did you cancel that order? Did you end up finally getting your Supreme edition? Or
I didn't get it from like my pre-order. My pre-orders are still sitting in limbo. I haven't canceled them just because at this point I just want to fucking see what happens. But I did find it in store.
Okay. All
right. So I do have it. But like realistically, the Ultimate Edition would be better anyway. It's just a matter of when Mattel will get off their ass and do it.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, it's taken them this long to make the fucking Kevin Nash one when they've had the body to reuse of Diesel. So
I know, dude, I was so excited when I saw that that they were making the Hall and Nash the Ultimates. I was like, that's what he's been waiting for. It's this whole
exactly what I've been bitching about for the past like 2 years since that new generation ring set.
Did you go pre-order them?
Are they up?
Oh, I don't know.
I've been watching. I've put on turned on notifications for Ringside so I can see when they go up. So
okay, they haven't gone up yet.
I haven't seen anything.
You'll have to let me know because I might end up selling my Legends edition Hall and Nash NWO and getting those Ultimate editions and replacing it, because I've been trying to go through. I don't know if you see my shelf like to my right here. So those are mostly like all of those with our the ultimates? Exception of Danielson. And like and Triple H and the two women are Ultimates.
That's surprising on the Triple H, because I feel like they've made like two or three of him.
Yeah, I never got the that style Triple H and Ultimate though. Okay. Like I've had two Triple H figures that I like, and I've never before that Triple H figure, the one that, you know, that would kind of match that version of Triple H, came out before I started collecting them, and I never went back to try and get it.
Well, they re-released it, I thought, because they did like a reissue of series 1 and 2.
Yeah, they did.
They did, because it was Triple H, Shawn.
He just doesn't have Bret Hart. The purple trunks is the only thing.
Yeah, no. That one, I don't know if you'll get an ultimate, because that's a very specific look.
Yeah, that's like the evolution Triple H. Like, I almost feel like I need a Randy Orton now to put with the four of them.
I don't know if that ultimate will work, because that ultimate is current day, so I think he has a mustache.
Yeah, it is. It's a different, but I mean, that's old Ric Flair, and that's past that's evolution.
True. Yeah, Batista. You're not wrong. You've got
it's just more, Young Man it's Flair. It's just more having the grouping of them together more than anything. So,
and realistically, let's face it, like, Orton's in his prime now more than he was back then anyway.
Yeah.
Far as like what he's doing.
And speaking of Orton, like, have you followed his return so far?
I saw his interaction on SmackDown where he RKO'd what's his nuts from NWA.
Nick Aldis.
Yeah. And then he proceeded to pay the fine in double for next time.
Right. Yeah,
that's great. Yeah, that was a good, especially, I guess, it's a fun little nod, especially because back when people would talk about how he, for the wellness policy, he would just get fined where everyone else would get like suspended and shit, and to the point where he'd just pay it in bulk at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
So that was a nice little touch like there. I enjoyed that. I saw that he had a segment with Roman apparently where he was like, I just realized I'm taller than you.
No, that was that was before he got hurt.
Okay.
Yeah, that was in the RK Bro era that happened. Yeah.
I just saw that came across like my TikTok like feed the other day, or yesterday actually, and I was like, what? I didn't even think that he had been on SmackDown since.
No, I imagine his first interaction with Roman will actually be tonight as we record Friday night. Roman is scheduled to be on SmackDown, and now that Randy is signed to SmackDown, he's made it clear that the Bloodline is who he's after.
Mm-hmm.
With the exception of Jay, he and Jay are good, but they had a little segment on Raw a couple weeks ago, which was pretty
Jay's
on
a different show, so like,
yeah, Jay's a babyface now, so but yeah,
can I
so
say eat again?
Yeah, he got so what they did they pay that girl off or something?
I don't know. I didn't know you could fucking like copyright a phrase like that. Like
I didn't
like,
either, but yeah. I mean,
that'd be like them like copywriting fucking what?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's being used in the pro wrestling space, so maybe that's where the copyright comes in. Like, she uses that for her character. Maybe that's where that
I don't know,
comes
because
in.
I feel like with trademarks, it's not specific enough. Like, I feel trademarks are a, like,
well, no, because blanket I think thing. But I think, like, I think WWE had a trademark on, like, yes, as, like, a, you know, like, that yes chant. Like, that's why Brian doesn't do that in AEW, because I don't
think
he's...
didn't do that because out of respect, because he said that he wouldn't do anything that he did in WWE because he didn't want to.
Oh, maybe. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It might just be some sort of character thing where that's using, you know, a character in the pro wrestling space using that word or something like that. I don't know. But
then again, I didn't know who had it. I just heard that someone owned the trademark to it, and they had to completely just abandon this thing that was over as fuck. And yeah. I'm like, good luck with that. If it was a indie wrestler or something like that, then yeah, they probably paid her off, and she probably fucking took like 10 grand or something like that.
We'll give you 10 grand and a performance center tryout if you let us use Yeet.
Okay. Doesn't get past day one. Like I said, we said you could try out.
But yeah, I mean, and it's been dude, the whole Yeet thing though, like, I'm not like, to me, that I don't really care. Like, it's kind of funny when he says it, and it was the press conference.
So that's
him
the only
and
thing
Cody.
That was funny was him and Cody were fucking shit faced eating at each other. That was the only thing funny about it.
Well, the other part of it that's funny though is on the flip side, on the SmackDown side, Jimmy says it, and Roman gets pissed off. So then Jimmy's like, so like, you know, he said it in front of Roman one time, and Roman goes, I don't like that. I don't like that word. Stop saying that word. And he's like, oh, okay, okay. So then a couple weeks later, Roman's not there. Jimmy's cutting a promo in the back, and he's going through, and he goes, yeet. And then all of a sudden he gets a call, and he picks up his phone. He goes, Tribal Chief, man, what's up? Oh, okay. And he puts down the phone. No yeet.
I did see that. That was funny.
Dude, Jimmy Uso's character. I love it, man. He has been... I've talked about this. I'm sure anybody listening is going to, you know, but you probably haven't heard me say it, but his character has been so entertaining. Like there was a segment where he came out and Roman had a contract signing with LA Knight, and then Jimmy interrupted it and he ended up getting put through a table. And, they go back to the back and Roman's sitting in his dressing room. And he's got a couch and Jimmy just comes sprawling in, like sprawls out on the couch. Shit, he's like laid out.
I'm on the injured team.
Yeah, I'm on the injured report. He's like, what happened out there? I called an audible. I ran the play. Like, it's just so funny, man. He's like, well, we need to handle that tonight. I can't do anything tonight. I'm on IR. He goes, you're what? No, I'm good. I can handle it tonight. It's just so funny, man. So funny. His character work has been a lot of fun since they've split up the Usos. I you know, you kind of worry sometimes when you split up a tag team like that, like, are they both going to still be able to...
Yeah, I thought Jimmy was going to fucking just be the background character of the Bloodline going forward, but no, he's kind of flourished, surprisingly.
Yeah, he really has. And when Roman's not there, he pretends like he's Roman and takes the microphone from Paul and stuff like that. Like, it's... And he tries to high-five Solo.
And Solo never fucking just no-sells him every time.
Oh, it's just so good. And even Solo's done a great job, too.
Yeah. Like, I lost interest in the Bloodline for a hot minute there. And then recently, just like you said, the stuff of Jimmy and Solo and Yeet and Roman, like, it's entertaining again. It's back to where it was when Sammy was involved. Where, like, it's fun, it's but still, like, has the ability to tell a good story when need be. Like,
yeah, without a doubt. And sorry, my voice all of a sudden just decided to leave me.
That's what happens when you swallow so hard.
That's what happens when you have COVID and drainage going down and all that.
Ooh, sexy.
Yeah, right. I kind of lost my train of thought there. What was I saying?
Yeet, Roman, the leather couch.
Oh yeah. So yeah, it's been kind of weird because it's not as hot as it was, but a big part of that is the fact that Roman has worked a lot less dates than he did even last year. Mm-hmm. But when you think back though, there's still been some amazing moments in that storyline that have happened this year. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole split from the Bloodline with Jay and Jimmy, and then the Bloodline Civil War thing that they had going on, and so on and so forth.
The tail end of the Sami Zayn stuff, like, there was a lot of stuff where Roman wasn't there for that. It was literally just the Usos and Solo and Heyman and Sami.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's still been going. It's just it's not hit that fever pitch. But I think going into WrestleMania, whatever storyline Roman's going to have, I would assume it's going to be Cody, right? In some way, shape, or form.
It's got to finish the story. I don't know how they're going to do it because I have to assume that Punk is winning the Rumble. Like, I'd be shocked if he didn't, because I feel like that's got to be a big part of him coming back, is he wants to win the Rumble and he wants to go on to main event WrestleMania.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine it too, but much like Cody not winning at WrestleMania, maybe that gets put off a year.
Maybe.
Or maybe he still main events WrestleMania, but they find a different avenue to get there, like Elimination Chamber. You know, it is interesting. It adds a different wrinkle to it. And who knows? Somebody else could end up winning the Rumble and it just be
red herring this whole time, and he never actually faces Seth.
Yeah, but the thing is though, like, Seth and Punk doesn't have to be for the title. Like, that's a draw.
Oh,
regardless.
Yeah.
And it could main event night one of a WrestleMania regardless if it's for the title or not. It does, you know, it could main that they could get that rivalry hotter than whatever Roman's got going on, and they could main event night two, and it's still not have to be for the title.
Roman will main event night two.
I know he will, but I'm just saying.
Roman must pose.
I think Cody, if they redo Cody and Roman,
Cody has to go over. If you have Cody, Roman squash him twice,
yeah,
like, yeah, no, that would completely kill Cody. Like if they have Roman beat him twice, like,
yeah.
Cody has to beat Roman if they face again.
I 100% agree with you. I mean, there's no way he can't, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just going to be, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. But it's a good problem to have, isn't it? That you have all these characters and you have all these different stories, you know, that could trade in and trade out. And it's also a good thing because it's professional wrestling. People get injured. Shit happens. You know, if you bank everything you have into one thing and that one thing falls apart, then if you don't have anything to fall back on, then what do you got?
You're not wrong. And that's my concern also with, like, waiting too long for the Punk story is in his, what, year, 2 years in AEW, he spent probably at least a third, if not half of that, injured.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
he
got injured in every big match he ever had.
Yeah. He got injured after he, what was the first one? What was Brawl Out? Brawl Out was MJF, right?
Brawl was MJF, yeah.
Yeah, so he
got injured. He won the title match from MJF.
Yeah, so no. It was Hangman? Moxley.
Moxley, yeah.
Yeah, so he got injured in the Moxley match, and then he got injured again when he wrestled Samoa Joe. Because he was injured after...
MJF came back as the Devil.
Mm-hmm.
For Brawl Out,
yeah,
that's what happened,
and that got overshadowed by Punk losing his shit in the media scrum, right, and then beating the fuck out of the Young Bucks with a chair and
punching Kenny Omega. A dog got bit or something. I don't know. Like
Kenny Omega bit a dog.
So much happened in that locker room.
That's why his mic skills are so bad that he still has got a mouthful of fur after all this time.
He's got rabies.
Rabies. He's got a little foam at the mouth that he can't quite get his words good.
I gotta imagine. I just thought about this because we mentioned Cleveland, but Punk's promo Monday night probably hit a little home for you, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it fucking did.
You were one of those people in attendance for that show.
I was there just to see that motherfucker, and. Then I went to see his ass in a different company to see him fucking lose in 7 seconds.
Should have got Monday night. You would have saw him cut a nice pro.
Yeah. I briefly debated on, like, oh, that'd be so cool. But at the same time, I was just like, no, my luck, he'll fucking not show up again. He'll quit a week after signing this new contract.
You're the bad luck charm with CM Punk.
Yeah, so I was like, I'm not risking it. But no, like, I saw, like, they tweeted, or he tweeted the clip. And I quote tweeted it, and I was just like, I was one of those people there. Apology accepted. Go get him, Tiger.
There you go. I didn't even see that. I'll have to go back and look for that. That's good. That's good. But yeah, man, it's kind of is what it is, but it's just, it's just crazy how things have happened and how things have kind of come full circle. And it just kind of feels like everything's right with the world now. Like, I don't care what's going on with AEW. Like, I feel like the WWE world right now is just, like, almost complete.
It's
like,
back where it needs to be.
I almost feel like it, like, if Bryan Danielson were to come back, that would put, like, the icing on the cake. But I don't know, man. He seems hell-bent on trying to make it work there, even though they're trying to kill him.
Yeah. He does not seem like he wants to come back. And I think, which is fair, because I feel like at AEW, they're going to let him do whatever he wants, no matter, like, if they'll kill him.
Right.
WWE won't. And it's simple as that.
And that's sad. Like, I feel like, and I used to think that he cared more about his health, but
he does not.
Watching does him not. Lately, it's
like, this man has a fucking busted up orbital socket, and he's wrestling in a fucking padded eye patch.
And that gets ripped off in a match and busted open. And
yeah, like, he's not gonna give a fuck about his well-being. He's gonna basically look like Mick Foley, but a lot more athletic.
He's going to look like Shawn Michaels soon with that eye that just kind of wanders.
Oh, yeah, the wandering eye. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
So you got that CM Punk figure. So are you back to collecting more wrestling stuff, or is that the only one you have?
I have a whopping two. I have my Ultimate AJ, and I have my Supreme CM Punk.
Okay. All right.
And then when I get the Ultimate Punk, I'll probably sell the Supreme CM Punk. It's a good figure. Like, don't get me wrong. It's night and day better than the normal figures for AEW.
Oh, yeah. The normal figures are garbage. I still have that normal figure CM Punk that you picked up for me. It's still in the box. I haven't done anything with it, but I don't know if I'm going to keep it or sell it or whatever. I've kind of purged some of my stuff. I got rid of a lot of my Funko Pops. I still have some of the bigger ones just because I haven't been able to sell them yet. And then I kind of just went all figures. So.
That's fair. Yeah, because I noticed that your shelf's a little lighter than it used to be.
Yeah, I rearranged it and everything, too. Like, I got the ring there, and there's kind of like a Royal Rumble going on in there. I got, like, five guys trying to eliminate Yokozuna. And
I see RVD. You know. Looks like he's just on the turnbuckle casually.
Yeah, but then Eddie Guerrero's right behind him about to knock him off. You can't really... Okay. It's kind of like, the camera
it's,
got
it's
a little blurry,
so you can't really see. Like, but I see... Yeah, I can kind of see something behind him.
It was clear earlier, so I don't know what happened with the camera where it got all blurry and stuff. But and then I got my my dark shelf up at the top. I got the Undertakers and the Fiend and Alexa Bliss, and so just kind of.
So Bray's got to go into the Hall of Fame this year, right?
It depends, though, man. Like I know the family really wanted some time to grieve because they were supposed to do like a. The Superstar Showcase for 2K was supposed to be revolved around Bray, but I think they asked to like wait on that to like give them some time because I think it's still pretty raw. Like JoJo posted something pretty recently about how they were supposed to get married this past week or something or a couple weeks ago. And, you know, so I guess it just depends on how the family feels. Maybe they put it off a year, you know,
that's fair.
But I think it's going to have a negative fan in a negative fan reaction, like, oh, how do you not put Bray in? But
yeah, the family, they snubbed him versus like the family.
Right. Thing. If the family just wants to wait and have more time to grieve, then you got to give them more time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, which is understandable.
I saw a weird social media thing from Bo Dallas talking about a new character called Wormwood that is like an iteration of like Bray speaking to him from beyond or some shit like that. I don't know if it was AI generated or if this was something he actually posted. Like I saw it on TikTok. So it was like secondhand and I never really, you know, a lot of times I'll go in and investigate something, but I was doing something else. I didn't have time to actually look at it, but since we talked about it, it just popped up in my head. But he was talking about like Uncle Howdy and he was talking about this. And then he talked about this new character. So I don't know if that, I don't think that's anything that's ever played on WWE, though, so I don't know. I don't know what it is. Potentially, maybe we'll be seeing Bo Dallas
pick up
the mantle for his brother.
Yeah, there were rumors that they were still going to do the Wyatt Six faction without Wyatt as, like, a, like, paying homage to him, but...
Yeah, but then I heard that got shot down, though, and Bo didn't want to do that. Mm-hmm. But then I also heard he might not even return to wrestling, but then this latest video seems like that's different. So I don't know. Be interesting to see. But have you, I saw some reviews on the Iron Claw movie. It doesn't look like it got killer reviews, but a lot of people that have seen it have said that they liked it. Is that kind of like...
I have no interest in it, to be honest, so I don't know.
Really? Okay. Yeah, I have an interest in seeing it. I mean, I remember Kerry Von Erich when he came to WWE, and I remember the, I've heard the story of the Von Erichs. I saw the Dark Side of the Ring.
That's the most I know is the Dark Side of the Ring episode.
Yeah, so this movie tends to focus more on the relationship of the brothers, and the wrestling part of it's kind of more like a backdrop, so... But I mean, it got a lot of clout. A lot of people were interested in it. MJF's in it for like a second. Like he plays one of the brothers, but he's not in it for very long. But yeah, I don't know, man. Anything else? Anything else that you've seen or picked up on that interests you or have caught your eye and outside of some of the main topics we've talked about and CM Punk?
Just trying to think if there, I mean, ironically, you know, something that's glaringly missing from our conversation, women's wrestling, because it's been kind of criminally left to the wayside.
Yeah, I well, on the AEW side, man, Timeless Toni Storm has been fantastic.
It's entertaining, I'll give you that.
It is entertaining. I brought this up on our last show. They did a great job of building her, mm-hmm. but now they're kind of falling into the same trap that they've been in, is they don't do a good job of building up the people to challenge her.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like they just randomly throw people at her. This Rio thing, I guess it's like when in doubt, throw Rio into the mix. But yeah, man, the Timeless Toni Storm character has been really good. Mommy has continued to be dominant. And I mean, you've got the Damage Control storyline on SmackDown has been in the forefront. I mean, they had the War Games match, and it seems like they're really trying to work Bayley out of the equation. A lot of people have speculated that this could potentially lead to a Four Horsewomen reunion and potential WrestleMania match.
You think it's going to be 4v4, the Damage Control versus the Four Horsewomen?
Yep. A healthy Dakota Kai teaming with Kairi, Asuka, and Io. And then you would have Sasha Banks returning to WWE to team with Charlotte, Bayley, Becky, and, oh yeah, Sasha. Yeah. So that would be four. I mean, that would be interesting because, you know, Sasha, she's been rumored to go to AEW, or Mercedes, she's been rumored to go to AEW, but that hasn't happened yet. She's made a couple, you know, one-off appearances in the crowd and things like that, but she's not signed with them. She's not really doing anything. I mean, she was recovering from a knee injury, but she hasn't really done... I don't know. It was a lower leg injury, I guess, but she's been recovering from an injury, so she hasn't really done anything with Stardom or New Japan or anything like that. So, you know, maybe she got her fix and she had that serious injury and she's like, maybe I need to be with the WWE medical doctors instead.
I feel like after, because she had joined New Japan before Triple H really took over as creative, yeah. Before the TKO,
it was like right, it was right at the top of when, yeah, Triple H was taking over.
So I could see it being like her being like, oh, well, maybe things have changed. So she was writing out her deal with New Japan. She got the injury and now it's just a matter of time. Like I would be shocked if she doesn't end up back in the E. I don't give a fuck either way. But like, I would,
you don't like her, but
it would be interesting to see a Four Horsewomen versus the Damage Control. Unfortunately, I feel like that match is too predictable that I wouldn't give a fuck about it, but at least get a good pop from like leading up to it when he like, oh, another one came to rescue him. Another one came to rescue him. But also, isn't Charlotte now on the injured list too?
Yeah. And that could potentially harm the idea though, too, because she did seemingly hurt her knee last week on SmackDown. So
yeah. And I heard that was not a work, that was like legit. Yeah.
But they haven't really said anything about her having surgery that I've seen, mm-hmm. So we don't know how serious it is.
Yeah, but so like she can like stay off it and like get better by like Elimination Chamber, they can build that story still.
Or even if she, like, let's say maybe Dakota, you know, because Dakota's still not 100% recovered from that knee, and she's been kind of that in that managerial role anyway. So maybe you have Charlotte on the sideline in that managerial role, and then it's a 3-on-3 match. I mean, that'd be another way that you could work it into the story.
Yeah,
she's healthy enough to at least kind of walk out there.
That doesn't seem like as much of a payoff, though.
No, it's not. It's more putting a Band-Aid on a bad situation.
That's like when your mom says you have the Four Horsewomen at home. You get home and it's a bunch of old dudes who half of them work at AEW and one of them is lost his mind selling woo wings and
and woo energy. Oh, that's another thing too, man. Like
fucking him. Yeah. He's a fucking train wreck.
Like, the one promo he cut where like he was on Dynamite and he sounded drunk. Mm-hmm. And then apparently on Rampage, and I didn't watch Rampage to see if they left it in, but apparently he said something like, any girls 18 to like 34, leave your boyfriends and meet me at the hotel or something like that. And everybody got all up in arms about it.
Yeah, I believe they cut that out because I didn't hear anything. I heard about the tapings, like people like talking about it, but I didn't hear about it airing. So that tells me it probably didn't air.
Yeah. He had a tweet to Tony Khan, and it was
like, if you ever feel like I'm hurting your business, then we'll part ways. But, you know, I'm just being me or some stupid shit.
Yeah. Yeah. He just doesn't get it, man. Like, it's like that was barely acceptable when he was in his like 30s and 40s saying stuff like that. I mean, 30s. Yeah, whatever. You know, especially during those the times, like it wasn't something that was necessarily frowned upon. But when you're like damn near 80 years old and you're telling 18-year-olds to come to your hotel, like that's fucked up, dude.
Especially after, you know, being accused of the things he's been accused of and not being apologetic about it at all.
Right.
Like, you can't just be like, I want to fuck all the women in this building. And then, like, come on, bro. Like, you can't be that tone deaf.
Yeah.
Oh, and he was also like, I don't need the money. I'm doing this for the love of the game. No, we all know you need the money.
Well, I don't know. I mean, he has different business ventures and investments. Like, he's making money off endorsements. So he may not need the money. Like,
for his lifestyle of cocaine and hookers, he needs the money.
Oh man, how's that guy?
Then again, maybe he just goes and parties with the snowman, so he doesn't have to pay for the cocaine part. Tony supplies the cocaine, and Flair supplies the hookers
and the woo energy.
Yeah, the woo energy. Mushroom. So they can go all night long. Woo!
Oh man,
that's
a scenario only that could be created by you.
Like, I don't see any world where Ric Flair's doing this because he has a love of the game at this point. Like, he's doing it because he needs the money. Like,
yeah, I don't know. Well, the thing is, though, like, AEW is not paying Ric Flair. Mm-hmm. They have a sponsorship deal with Woo Energy. Woo Energy is paying basically essentially for Ric Flair. So it doesn't cost Tony Khan any money to have him there. So it's a good deal for them. And, you know, Woo Energy is the one supplying the paycheck. So it's really, I mean, I guess it, I don't know.
I feel like it's a good deal, though, if you've got this crazy old man going on live television, on taped television, saying that he wants to fuck every woman from 18 to 34. Like, basically, he's just like, yeah, if you're that key demo and you're not a dude, meet me backstage. Woo! Like, woo! Like, I feel like that is, yeah, I feel like that, even if you're not paying for that, you're paying for it in the end anyway. especially when you have Triple H like at your heels with Warner Bros. Discovery trying to steal your TV deal, and you're gonna have a crazy old man go out there with a live microphone and just say whatever the fuck he wants. Like,
yeah, I've really been noticing on Dynamite they've been bleeping out stuff now. I think they've gotten in trouble, like especially when Edge did the go fuck yourself.
They got in big trouble for that. Yeah,
yeah, they missed it. So I think they're maybe getting clamped down a bit and like, look, man, like I get that you're trying to reach this demo, but I mean, you could watch, you're not seeing nobody on the Law and Order shouting out the F word. You know what I mean? Like it's like there's certain lines that they've crossed so many times. Like when MJF went on his rant with the fuck you, Mark, fire.
Yeah.
Like that's not, if you're trying to sell yourself to a broadcast, like that's not the way to do it.
Nope. Especially if you aren't going airing after 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
FX gets away with that because of the whole like law about like after 10 o'clock or whatever it is, like with that bullshit. So like,
very true.
Like at that point they wouldn't get any of the demo because everyone's got to go to bed because they have to fucking work in the morning. Right. So yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that's it. I don't know, man. Like, I like a little bit edgier, and I feel like WWE's done a better job of painting that line or walking that line. Especially
with the CM Punk stuff. Like, they're walking the line between reality and fucking kayfabe here with the Punk story because, like, Seth's coming out here and saying, like, you're only here because this is your last chance and, like, you have nowhere else to go and I'm going to show everyone who you really are and him saying, like, this is your one freebie. Like, implying that he's going to beat his ass backstage if he does it again kind of thing. Like, they are towing that line perfectly.
Well, even what he said, well, yeah, I mean, it's 2023. You can't just go and punch people in the face backstage. You just can't do that.
Yeah, Jesus, KO. Oh, fuck.
Somebody had posted a video I just saw. It was a shot from the crowd, but they were sitting right behind the announce desk and they were like filming the monitor. Mm-hmm. And it was when Tony was giving the speech about letting Punk go on the, like, when he sat in the chair and the crowd just starts going boo. And then you hear somebody in the background go, "You fucking pussy." When he said that he feared for his life, that's like, oh my gosh.
I feared for my life. You fucking pussy. Oh man. I as much as I hate fucking wrestling fans, that's fantastic.
Yeah. Definitely. So yeah, man, it's gonna be interesting to see where it goes. I'm excited because we're getting so close to the Royal Rumble in WrestleMania season, and I know that means we're getting close to the end of the year and Christmas and all that, but you know, there's no more PLEs for WWE going forward. I don't think AEW has any pay-per-view scheduled until the beginning of next year with Revolution. They've
got their like weird specialty Dynamite things, I think.
Yeah,
the winners coming. The winners coming actually just happened, never mind.
No, that happened. Well, there's one more because there's like a New Year's one, and that's where Joe and MJF are supposed to fight for the title.
Is MJF just going to drop the title to him? Because there's no way. Like, he's I thought pretty injured.
Yeah, well, I guess he had maybe a partially torn labrum or something like that, but he said he was going to fight through it. But at the same time, though, supposedly he keeps tweeting out or Xing out or whatever that his, 21 days, 20 days, because his contract supposedly is up 2024. I know there's a lot of rumors that he signed a long time ago, but, you know.
I don't know. Anyone who believes the bidding war of 2024 at this point, like, good for you. I don't believe for a second that after he came back from the fuck you, fire me, Mark promo, that he didn't resign.
He had to have a bit of a contract extension when he came.
Yeah, because he's the face of the fucking company at this point. He's the only thing keeping that boat afloat. There's no way Tony Khan would put him in that position for him to – well, then against Tony Khan, he's pretty fucking stupid. but, like, any smart, intelligent person would not make that man the face of your company with a chance that he's just going to jump ship a year later. Like,
right. Yeah. Unless this devil storyline is a way of casting him out, but
maybe.
But then
devil's gonna fucking kill him, put him through like real glass.
Yeah, there's no payoff with it at that point, so it's like, what?
Well, that's another thing is like, so if he's injured and they drop the title to Joe, then that devil story is completely fucking pointless.
Unless the devil's the one that costs him the title, and then they reveal it after.
I guess, but
yeah, no, I agree with you, man. Like, I agree with you. Like, it's a thing, like, and that's why, like, I really feel like they just missed the boat by not doing it at Revolution. Like, mm-hmm. It just, they build it up perfectly to do it at Revolution, and then they didn't. And you can't tell me Wardlow's not one of the henchmen. He 100% is one of the henchmen.
Yeah. Well, see, here's my thing as well, is, like, with them delaying it, it could also have meant that it was going to be someone who was let go during the releases in WWE, during the merger. But that wouldn't make sense for why they'd have this, like, fucking vendetta out for MJF.
No, and Tony Khan has said that the people that are playing the characters are the people that were meant to play the characters the entire time.
Yeah.
And be revealed as the characters, so, yeah.
But then again, he fucking lies all the time, so who knows?
That's true. That's true. He, I mean,
he lied and said that we're not doing a brand split not Rampage, the other one, Collision. We're not doing a brand split. It's just, you know, some people will only be on this show.
Yeah. Well, they are starting
anymore,
to,
but like back when it was Punk Show, like he said there was no brand split, and there was a brand split.
Yeah, there was definitely a brand split. Trying to think. You know, the other thing though was that Pinnacle, like the whole Pinnacle group were the henchmen.
That would be interesting. I mean, I don't know who you'd have that would
matter.
But then
who'd be the devil?
Yeah, who'd be the fucking devil?
Polly Blanchard?
Oh, wait, is...
Or is it Tony Khan still?
I still want it to be the snowman. Please, for the love of God, let him be like, it was me, MJF!
It was me all along.
Then Tony Khan becomes the champion?
Oh, God, no.
Yes, please. Like, he uses the Pinnacle to fucking beat up him, and then he comes in and pins him, and he becomes a champion. Like, that'd be the ultimate jumping the WCW shark right there.
Yeah. That'd be like David Arquette all over again.
Oh, my God. I just... I don't know who it could be at this point. Like, if there was a brief period where I thought, like, if it's not Adam Cole, it's Kyle O'Reilly. Because Kyle O'Reilly's been spotted backstage. He's doing a lot better. Which would make sense because then you could do the undisputed like scenario again. But then you're missing crazy you're missing Bobby.
You're missing Bobby Fish. Yeah. Which, you know, whatever.
Tell me where the lie is.
There's, I'm trying to think of another scenario, but then that's still then, but, oh yeah. So the other thing was when, Adam was in the ring with him a few weeks ago. Maybe that's probably like 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago at this point. You know, they were both injured and hobbling out. And it was like right after Revolution and Cole was on crutches and, you know, got in the ring. He had his hand in his pocket. He reached his hand in his pocket and then the arena went black and then the devil showed up on the screen. And then when he came back, he took his hand out of his pocket. So the thought is that he had something in his pocket that he clicked that caused that to happen. So.
I guess. I don't know.
I mean, I think Adam, like, and that's the thing, though. That storyline with their friendship was so hot, and now it's cooled off. So for it to be Adam Cole now, it's not as impactful.
That would make his injury kayfabe, though, because the devil doesn't seem to have a limp or anything like that.
Right. And that's why I always thought his injury was kayfabe. I always I've thought that from day one because it was so weird how it happened. And then you had Britt Baker making a big deal about it on social media and doubling down.
I think
on
she
stuff.
Was just being that girlfriend who's like making fun of the fact of like of it. Like, I don't know if she was necessarily trying to play it up.
And then did you see you haven't recorded with us since Revolution. Like how
I haven't recorded with you in like 5 months.
How ridiculous was it that, you know, they had Adam Cole said he was going to take MJF's place and he's on crutches, leg wrapped up. He comes out to the ring on crutches and they're going to let him have the match. But then MJF drives the ambulance back and he's coming out and they're trying to stop him from getting
right.
To
they're
the
like, you're not medically cleared. You're not medically cleared. But this guy who's even more injured is medically cleared.
Right. Like, make any sense.
Yeah. That entire sequence. I'm just like, what is going on right now? Like, this man's medically cleared, but he's on crutches. This guy is just fucking limping, and he's like, right. They're like, no, you can't, like.
But then Britt was funny, too, because she was like, well, you know, he told me he can't even empty
the
dishwasher.
Dishes. Yeah, yeah.
Like, what the hell?
She's like, what the fuck's this shit?
And you're talking about women's division, like, what's fucking Britt Baker?
Yeah.
Nothing, man. Nothing.
Zero TV time with promos in 2023.
And zero, like, she barely's in any matches. And the matches she has haven't had any build or anything. Like, the one true woman that they had that was holding that company down.
Fucking Pillar.
Yeah. And that's the thing, like, that, like, they, now it's Toni Storm and nothing else. Like, Saraya hasn't even really been around that much. Like, she held that title for, like, 2 minutes, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
So
Yeah, I mean, obviously AEW has its issues where they don't know how to fucking book the women's division to begin with, but I think a big part of it is also, like, I wonder after the drama of Punk and Tony not being able to like, realize, like, who the problem is, if they're doing the same thing with the women's division, because there was all those rumors about, like, her playing the politics backstage, and that's why she was, like, champion for so long, that maybe, like, someone got in Tony's ear and now he's pushing her away.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. That's weird, man. Like, it's just like there's so much talent there and they just aren't utilizing it a whole lot. And, you know, WWE, I guess on the SmackDown side, they've got it going on. There's not really a top challenger for Rhea right now on the Raw side. Like, there's nobody really standing out. Like, you know, they had Zoe Stark in a match at the most recent at Survivor Series. But Zoe Stark, to me, I liked her when she was doing her heel work with Trish. I did not enjoy Zoe Stark as a babyface in NXT. Like, she's just too bland for me. Like, as a heel, she has a little bit more that you can latch on to. But as a babyface, not really.
Yeah.
And why aren't they elevating Shayna Baszler more? Like, that just doesn't make sense.
That is weird to me. Like, I feel like they had that opportunity and they just, like, let it slide by.
Yeah. Now, they are finally building Becky versus Nia, though, after, you know, how many years ago that Nia, and they're even involving that in the storyline, like, you know, the punch heard around the world or whatever.
Yeah, but you broke my nose and I never got to give you the receipt kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're at least building that up. Like, Becky's had some pretty good stuff. The NXT women's division has actually been really good. NXT has been a fun show to watch over the last few months. Did you see Wes Lee? What happened to him?
Who?
Wes Lee. He was the North American champion. He was a part of that. Wes Lee was a part of that tag team with Nash Carter. And then Nash Carter got in trouble for his ex-wife making up claims about him. And he got fired. So it left Wes kind of on his own. Oh. And Wes is he's kind of more like a high flyer, like skinny dude, but he's done some pretty good character work, but he's had a back and forth with the North American Championship. But he had a match where he was supposed to, you know, if he had to face four former North American champions. It was Gargano, Bronson Reed, and who was the fourth person in the match? So they're all like, so he had to outlast them. Yeah, Ricochet. So he had to, no, it wasn't Ricochet. Sorry, because Ricochet's been hurt he had a concussion.
Oh, I saw something where, like, Gargano grabbed somebody and launched him into Bronson Reed's nuts, and I thought it was Ricochet.
I don't know. I don't think it was Ricochet in that match.
Who was the dude who was the NXT, or is he still NXT champion?
Ilya Dragunov is the champion right now.
Who was the guy before that?
Before Ilya? It was Carmelo Hayes.
Was it maybe him? Because wasn't he a North American champion before?
No, because it was all guys that were called up. Or maybe it was. Yeah, maybe it was Carmelo. I don't remember. It really doesn't matter.
It's gonna bother
but
me,
Wesley won, but I guess somehow in the course of the match, he suffered a very serious back injury that requires surgery. So he came out the next week having to use a crutch to stand up. And, like, you could see how much pain he was in just being there in the ring by the look on his face. And he was real emotional and, you know, basically end up giving the match to Dragon Lee. But, man, I was like, shit, like, that, how quickly is just a young guy who, you know, kind of in the, you know, the start of his career and, you know, one wrong thing, suffers a serious back injury and he's out probably a year or more. Getting that fixed, so this is terrible. But
yeah, that damn, that's fucking rough.
Yeah. Well, anything we can do to end this on a happy note after I just brought this down?
We can go with the conspiracy theory that I don't believe that CM Punk's signing was done the day of, or at least not like decided the day of.
I don't believe that either. I think those seeds were planted from this, like, way back when he visited Raw when he was still with AEW.
Well, because, like, my biggest thing, like, even if you look past all the stupid fucking annoying teases, the fact that a couple of days before Cult of Personality gets a remaster.
Yeah.
It just so happens to be the version that they're using.
Yeah, because I guess like, AEW has rights to the other version of it or something mm-hmm. like that. Yeah,
they have the rights to the version that they paid to get recorded for the remaster then. But they could still use the old version.
That's true. Yeah.
But yeah, so that tells me that like at least it had to have been like a week before.
Now, he might not have signed his contract until that day.
But like they were in the
I feel the like the conversation happened before. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Fatal 4-Way rematch. Wesley. Wait. I can see the people in it. It was To the Moon.
Cameron Grimes was the other person.
Cameron Grimes.
It was all Johnny people Gargano. Called up. Yeah, Johnny Gargano and Bronson Reed.
Yeah, Wesley, Cameron Grimes, Bronson Reed, and Johnny Gargano.
Yeah. So actually, Carmelo Hayes is going to make his SmackDown debut tonight. He's a part of the U.S. Championship tournament. So he's the surprise.
Oh, NXT. He's that surprise one that Logan Paul did that really terrible promo for.
Yeah, yeah. So that was Shawn Michaels' choice to be in that. So, and honestly, Carmelo Hayes at this point needs to be elevated. Bron Breakker does too. I mean, I think those guys have kind of gone as far as they can in NXT.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bron Breakker's character now is on a different level, but yeah, it'd be interesting to see, man. But I really don't have anything else, and we kind of talked for almost another hour after the 20 minutes we already did. So
you're welcome.
Welcome back to the show, Michael. Thank you for joining me this week. Hopefully we can get you back with us on another day we record, you know, maybe your work schedule will open up and allow it. But outside of that, man, that's all I got. So thank you guys for listening to this week's episode of the show. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Make sure you check out Michael Ware
at youtube.com/ Modern Toy Fair. We've got everything from reviews, how to pose action figure videos. We've got the weekly live stream, weekly toy hunts, and weekly podcast. Check us out on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Modern Toy Fair. We've got patreon.com/ Modern Toy Fair. We've got tpublic.com/ Modern Toy Fair. We've got all the / Modern Toy Fairs. But if you go to tpublic.com, we'll also have Gimmick Minute shirts and mugs.
Oh, so it's a Gimmick Minute shirts out there, too.
I left them all up. They don't sell just the Modern Toy Fair, doesn't sell, but still they're up.
All right. So, all right. Well, hey, thanks. We appreciate you. And I appreciate you joining me this week. So for Michael, my name's Jason, reminding all you smarks out there to be a fan, but always live your gimmick. Thank you. And goodbye, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Is that a Santa figure?
It is.
Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho.